Hi, this is Pastor Patrick of Calvary Chapel, Wichita. I pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you listen to this message.
A lot of you probably already know what the Calvary Chapel view is on gifts of the Holy Spirit. But there are other views out there about the gifts of the Holy Spirit from different brothers and sisters in Christ who look at the scriptures, and that's the view that they get. These things are that we're looking at are not essential for salvation in any way, shape, or form. They are things that we disagree on in certain things, and they warrant us to go dig deeper, as we said. And that's part of the message. We want to dig deeper. That's what we want to do, get in God's Word, right? So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to kind of read some different views about the things. The three views that I'm going to talk about tonight would be, the first one will be sensationalism. And just from that word, you can kind of tell what that might be a little bit. The second that we'll look at and talk about a little bit is cessationism. I'll spell that. It's C-E-S-S-A-T-I-O-N-I-S-M. Cessationism. And so those people would be sensationalist. The first one would be sensationalist. So then that brings us to our third and final one, which is continuationism. And so those people would be continualist. So let's take a look at the different views here. Let's have a word of prayer as we get into God's Word here. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that apart from you, we can do nothing, Lord. We need you in every facet of our lives, Lord. We thank you for this place you've given us to come here and gather and to discuss these things, Lord, honestly, and to look at your word, Lord. And if nothing else that we go away with here tonight, Lord, it shows us that there's always more to learn. There's always more to look at. There's always more ways you're trying to show us to love one another and those around us in this lost and dying world. So just pray, Lord, would your message come forth through tonight, Lord, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So sensationalism. What is sensationalism? Sensationalism is the use of astonishing, the lurid, or the shocking in order to create interest or evoke a strong reaction. A sensationalist is someone who seeks to thrill, startle, or entertain through exaggerated language or showy style. Tabloids rely heavily on sensationalism of their headlines and cover photos to sell copies of their publications. Unfortunately, religious sensationalism also exists. Sensationalism in religious circles is the use of melodramatic, over-the-top theatrical methods in religious circles, overblown, incredible claims in religious literature. A religious sensationalist can be either one who manipulates others through such methods, or wide-eyed participant, or a wide-eyed participant mesmerized by the thrill of it all. That said, when Jesus was on earth, he performed amazing miracles that dumbfounded people. One example is Jesus' healing of the paralytic. The gospel accounts relate that people were amazed, Mark 2:12. If you got some way to take notes, just please write these scriptures down as we go along. And as you put them down, I want this to evoke a study of your own. As Christians, we understand different views, and maybe we're set on our view already. But we always want to dig deeper, and we want to know what the other sides of the coins are. You understand what I'm saying? So we always want to have that scripture in mind, and we want to know how to defend our side of that, and see and make sure that we know what we're talking about when we talk to someone else, to help us argue and defend in a loving and a caring way. And just reason together through the scriptures, because that's what we want to do with one another. So anyway, that said, amazed, Mark 2:12, filled with fear, Luke 5:26, and moved to glorify God, Matthew 9, verse 8. It is no surprise that witnesses to the miracle were amazed at the astounding healing. They had never seen such power. Jesus' many sensational miracles had similar effects on their observers. Yet Jesus was no sensationalist. He did not perform miracles in order to please euphoric crowds or stir up his own renown. In fact, he often went out to solitary places to pray, sometimes leaving many sick people behind. An example would be Mark 1:35 through 38. He was not interested in thrilling people, but in saving them. His concern was doing the will of God, not drawing gasps of amazement from people. Jesus' manner of dealing with those who sought after sensationalism was to rebuke them. As the crowds increased, Jesus said, "This is a wicked generation. It asks for a sign, but none will be given it except for the sign of Jonah," Luke 11:29. Sensationalism is not too concerned with the truth. The sensationalists of Jesus' day wanted to see the miracles, but most of them were not moved to have faith in God. Though temporarily filled with awe at God's mighty works, they were not convinced or converted. In John 6, great crowds followed Jesus in response to his many miracles. Even after he fed thousands with a few fish and barley loaves, they still asked for another miraculous sign, such as verse 30. But when he began teaching the hard truths of the gospel, they deserted him. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. John 6:66. Kind of an interesting number for that verse. That is the nature of sensationalism. It must keep producing more spectacular events and inducing more emotional responses to keep the sensationalists interested. But true faith is not produced through sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Miracles and emotional experiences do not create faith. God must call a person, opening his mind to truth, John 6:44. Too often, religious leaders believe that sensationalism will convert sinners, and they design their services to impress people and increase followers by sensational messages and methods, rather than relying on the Holy Spirit to give new life. That's one down. Let's go to the next one. Cessationism. What is it? Cessationism is the view that the miracle gifts of tongues and healings have ceased, that the end of the apostolic age brought about a cessation of the miracles associated with that age. Most cessationists believe that while God can still do and perform miracles today, the Holy Spirit no longer uses individuals to perform miraculous signs. Let me repeat that. Most cessationists believe that while God can and still does perform miracles today, the Holy Spirit no longer uses individuals to perform miraculous signs. The biblical records show that miracles occurred during particular periods for a specific purpose of authenticating a new message from God. Moses was enabled to perform miracles to authenticate his ministry before Pharaoh, Exodus 4, verses 1 through 8. Elijah was given miracles to authenticate his ministry before Ahab, 1 Kings 17:1 and 18:24. The apostles were given miracles to authenticate their ministry before Israel, Acts 4:10 and 16. As we already pointed out, Jesus' ministry was also marked by miracles, which the Apostle John calls signs, John 2:11. John's point is that the miracles were proofs of authenticity of Jesus' message. After Jesus' resurrection, as the church was being established and the New Testament was being written, the apostles demonstrated signs such as tongues and the power to heal. Tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not, 1 Corinthians 14:22. A verse that plainly says the gift was never intended to edify the church. The Apostle Paul predicted that the gift of tongues would cease, 1 Corinthians 13:8. Here are six reasons cessationists give that tongues have ceased. Number one, the apostles through whom tongues came were unique in the history of the church. Once their ministry was accomplished, the need for authenticating signs ceased to exist. Number two, the miracle or sign gifts are only mentioned in the earliest epistles, such as 1 Corinthians. Later books such as Ephesians and Romans contain detailed passages on the gifts of the Spirit, but the miracle gifts are not mentioned, although Romans does mention the gift of prophecy. The Greek word translated prophecy means speaking forth and does not necessarily include prediction of the future. Number three, the gift of tongues was a sign to unbelieving Israel that God's salvation was now available to other nations. See 1 Corinthians 14:21 through 22. and Isaiah 28, 11, and 12. Number four, tongues was an inferior gift to prophecy. Preaching the word of God edifies believers, whereas tongues does not. Believers are told to seek prophesying over speaking in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 3. Now, these are all things that sensationists believe and that they say that as proof to prove their side or their doctrinal beliefs here. So this is number five. They say, history indicates that tongues did cease. Tongues are not mentioned at all by the post-apostolic fathers. Other writers, such as Justin Martyr, Origen, Chrysostom, and Augustine, considered tongues something that happened only in the earliest days of the church. Number six, they say current observation confirms that the miracle of tongues has ceased. And this kind of gets me, so I had a good chuckle out of this. It says, if the gift were still available today, this is talking about tongues, there would be no need for missionaries to attend language school. Missionaries would be able to travel to any country and speak any language fluently, just as the apostles were able to speak in Acts 2. As for the miracle gift of healing, we see in Scripture that healing was associated with the ministry of Jesus and the apostles, Luke 9, verses 1 through 2. And we see that as the era of the apostles drew to a close, healing, like tongues, became less frequent. The apostle Paul, who raised Eutychus from the dead, Acts 20, verses 9 through 12, did not heal Epaphroditus, Philippians 2, 25 through 27. Trophimus, 2 Timothy 4, 20. He didn't heal Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, 23, or even himself in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. The reason for Paul's failures to heal are, and he gives two more reasons, number one, the gift was never intended to make every Christian well, but to authenticate apostleship. That's part of that I'll agree with. Second, the authority of the apostles had been sufficiently proved, making further miracles unnecessary. And then they gave a little end to their thing, because that kind of ends their little thought on all this, and says, the reasons stated, it says above, are the evidence for sensationism. They say, according to 1 Corinthians 13, 13 and 14, 1, we would do well to pursue love, the greatest gift of all. If we are to desire gifts, we should desire to speak forth the word of God, that all may be edified. I was a little confused because I agree with that last part about speaking to one another in love and everything, but I'm not sure what gifts they're talking about, because they either believe in some of these gifts or they don't believe in some of these gifts, and which ones they believe in, and it can get very blurry, because if you go from, there's some cessationists that are just talking about a couple of different gifts that they don't believe are available for these days, and then there's some that are more extreme to where they believe all the gifts are gone. There's some kind of things that they get a little fuzzy on there, probably depending on which one you talk to and how their views play out. So that ends the first two, and we're going to head into the third one here about what is continuationism and what is a continuous. Continuationism is the belief that all the spiritual gifts, including healings, tongues, and miracles, are still in operation today, just as they were in the days of the early church. A continuous believes that the spiritual gifts have continued unabated since the day of Pentecost, and that the demonstration of signs, wonders, and miracles, 2 Corinthians 12, 12, as witnessed in the apostolic era, should be a hallmark of today's church. Let me repeat part of that again. Signs, wonders, and miracles, 2 Corinthians 12, 12, as witnessed in the apostolic era, should be a hallmark of today's church as well. When the Holy Spirit came, as Jesus had promised, Acts 1:8, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, he filled the believers and provided them with supernatural gifts that enabled them to serve God with power and ability. These spiritual gifts are listed in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, Ephesians 4, verses 11, and 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 11 and verse 28. And continuationism says that all of the gifts still continue to this day. These gifts vary from person to person as the Spirit sees fit. 1 Peter 4:10. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 through 6 says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Continuationist maintain that there is no scriptural evidence that any of these spiritual gifts are no longer in operation. The contrasting viewpoint is called cessationism. That was the one that we just went over. And so they bring about some things that they see as error. It says, which teaches that some of the gifts ceased and are no longer in operation today. The question in cessationism is not whether there are gifts still being given, but which ones. Sensationists point to verses such as 1 Corinthians 13:10 and the fact that the miraculous gifts seem to be closely tied to the ministry of the apostles and the verification of God's revelation. Acts 2:22, 14:3, 2 Corinthians 12:12 as evidence that the miraculous gifts of the Spirit have ceased. As with any doctrine, there are extremes on either side, as I just said a little bit ago. Some cessationists believe that all spiritual gifts ceased with the end of the apostolic age. Less extreme cessationism holds that only the sign gifts, healing, miracles, and tongues have ceased. On the extreme continuationist side, there are those who teach that tongues must always follow salvation or the filling of the Holy Spirit. There can also be a wrong emphasis on the gifts rather than on the person of Jesus Christ. That's very important. Always the gifts and the things that we see being used or manifested in the life of believers, us, anyone that we know that calls himself a believer, when that gift is expressed or used in any manner, it should always be something that points back to Jesus, right? Like Chuck would always say, any time and place, it should come back right to Jesus some way, that it glorifies him. There can also be a wrong emphasis on the gifts rather than on the person of Jesus Christ. Some even claim that every believer can be equipped with every miraculous gift if she or he has enough faith. But this concept is clearly refuted in 1 Corinthians 12:11, which says that the Spirit distributes them to each one just as he determines. Paul dealt with this very issue in the Corinthians church. Paul said, do all work miracles? You guys can answer. Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? 1 Corinthians 12:29 and 30. The answer to these rhetorical questions is no. Continuationists believe that the biblical instruction on spiritual gifts is as relevant today as it was when it was written. They maintain that there is no scriptural reason to believe otherwise and that the burden of proof lies with the cessationist. One truth that both perspectives must agree on is 1 Corinthians 1:10, which says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Both cessationist and continuationist should remember that the most important issue on the heart of Jesus when he prayed for us was that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and I have loved them even as you have loved me. That is John 17:22 and 23. Whether continuationist or cessationist, all born-again believers are part of the body of Christ. Agreed? All born-again believers. 1 Corinthians 12:27, when we allow any non-foundational issue to cause division and dissension, we are not giving heed to what was most important to our Lord. I've got some other batting back and forth verses and stuff here that the cessationist and the continuationist put on things. So the first one here, a little argument that they would kind of go through a little bit, is number one is Scripture. So it says, cessationists often cite 1 Corinthians 13:8-9 to support the idea that some gifts ceased when the perfect came. Some believe that the perfect refers to the completion of the Bible. This position holds that once the Bible was in completed form, there was no longer any need for miraculous works of the Holy Spirit through believers. However, verse 12 clarifies the identity of that perfect. For now we see only in a reflection, as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Since we cannot see the Bible face to face, nor can it know us, continuationists consider this passage a reference to the second coming of Jesus. At that time, there will be no need for the Holy Spirit's gifts, including the gift of knowledge, verse 8, as we will be in the physical presence of Jesus himself. Another verse often cited is 2 Corinthians 12:12. Cessationists maintain that the miraculous gifts such as tongues, healing, prophecy, and miracles were limited to the apostles to validate their authority. However, the Bible includes accounts of non-apostles in the early church performing miracles and healings, such as Stephen, Acts 6:8, Philip, Acts 8:6 and 7. The gifts of tongues and prophecy were widespread among everyone who was filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts 10:46, 19:6, 1 Corinthians 14:5-39, Galatians 3:5. Paul included these miraculous gifts when he addressed the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 12:4-10, and 28. Continuationism argues that if tongues, healing, and miracles were limited to the apostles, these gifts would not have been included in Paul's instructions to the church body many years after Pentecost. Paul stated, "Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy," 1 Corinthians 14:5. From this we can infer that Paul did not consider those gifts limited to the apostles. The extraordinary manifestations of power that the apostles demonstrated, Luke 9:1, Acts 15:15 and 16, may have been due to the fact that Jesus himself had given the 12 this power as his unique messengers, Luke 9:1 and Revelation 20, verse 4. Their miraculous abilities were not necessarily related to the endowments of the spiritual gifts that applied to all spirit-filled believers. The topic of speaking in tongues has been a source of misunderstanding for many Christians. Its abuse and misuse in some circles has further fueled the conviction by cessationists that this gift is neither active nor necessary. Some even attribute this phenomenon to demonic activity or emotional hysteria. They also maintain that if tongues was still a legitimate gift, every missionary would be given this gift to avoid years of language study, as I'd said before. In response, continuationists agree that some of what is purported to be spirit-inspired is nothing more than emotion-fueled sensationalism. Satan and fallen human beings have always counterfeited miraculous works of God and still do. Exodus 7:10-11, Acts 8:9-11, Revelation 13:14. However, the presence of the counterfeit does not negate the authentic. Let me say that again. The presence of the counterfeit does not negate the authentic. In Acts 16:16, Paul and Silas were pestered by a demon-possessed girl with the gift of prophecy. The fact that her supernatural ability was from Satan and not from God did not cause Paul to conclude that all prophetic gifts were of the devil, 1 Corinthians 14:1. In Matthew 7:21-23, Jesus foretold that many would claim to know him because they performed miracles in his name. The fact that they were imposters did not imply that everyone who performed miracles was a fake. Mark 16:17. Continuationists suggest that part of the confusion over this topic is that there may be two kinds of tongues, spoken in Acts and the letters to the Corinthians. The gift that came on the day of Pentecost enabled the apostles to speak in languages of those in attendance. This allowed the gospel to spread rapidly throughout the region, Acts chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. However, in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul seems to be speaking about a different purpose for tongues. The entire 14th chapter is an instruction to the church about the purposes and the use of this gift, one of which may be for worshiping God, verses 14:2, 14 through 16, and 28. I want to go back because I'd mentioned earlier they talked about some of the post-apostolic fathers not really agreeing with some of those things, that they thought that some of those guys, like Martyr and Irenaeus, they thought the gifts had died out in some of their teachings and things. So let's look at that a little bit. Sensationism claims historical support, stating that there is no indication that miraculous gifts continued after the death of the apostles. However, continuationists maintain that the church record disagrees. They cite the following examples. Justin Martyr, AD 100-165, early church historian, stated that the prophetical gifts remain with us even to the present time. Now, it is possible to see among us women and men who possess gifts of the Spirit of God. Irenaeus, from 125 to 200, said, "We do also hear many brethren in the church who possess prophetic gifts, and through the Spirit speak all kinds of languages. The dead even have been raised up and remained among us for many years." Novatian, 210 to 280, said, "This is He, the Holy Spirit, who places prophets in the church, instructs teachers, directs tongues, gives powers and healings, does wonderful works." Augustine, from 354 to 430, is often cited as an early church father who rejected the idea of continuationism. This was true early on. However, later in life, he was so impacted by the healings and miracles that he observed firsthand that he wrote in the City of God, "I am so pressed by the promise of finishing this work that I cannot record all the miracles I know." Interesting. More recent Bible scholars such as John Wesley, A.W. Tozer, R.A. Torrey, and J.P. Moreland were also convinced that all the Spirit's gifts are still active in the world today, and in fact operated in some of those gifts. So some of those men had been granted those gifts. And we'll go through one more here. Arguments from silence. Sensationists point out that only Paul's earliest letters contain references to the miraculous gifts. Later epistles, such as Ephesians, do not mention them. Their conclusion is that these gifts must have died out after the church was firmly established. However, continuationists point out that this is an argument from silence, which is a logical fallacy. Pro-homosexual activists use this argument in claiming that since Jesus did not verbally condemn homosexuality, he approved of it. We know, based on other passages, that this is not true and that his lack of address does not equal agreement. Continuationists apply the same logic in this argument. The lack of reference to a subject does not in any way imply that the previous instruction had changed. It may mean that the miraculous gifts were not causing disruption in Ephesus as they were in Corinth. So, in other words, the teaching in one place was directed towards a specific thing, just as the Ephesian letter had another purpose for it. You understand what I'm saying? So each letter had its own purpose to each church, and it was directed for the things that were concerning that church for that day at that time. And so we can take all the books as we have them now in the Bible and get clear teachings on any subject that that God wants us to learn and glean from and grow and glorify Him in what we do and say. Biblical scholars abound on both sides of the issue. Sensationism holds that the inspired Word of God is all we need to live as Christ desires us to live. Continuationists assert that the Holy Spirit, who was poured out in Acts 2, still continues His work with all the supernatural giftings mentioned in Scripture. David Martin Lloyd-Jones, a 19th century theologian who is often cited as a supporter of sensationism, says this: "Every Christian should always be seeking the best and the highest. We should never be content with anything less. than what is described as possible to the Christian in the New Testament. To that, both of the sides would say, Amen. And that's a guy from that other, from the sensationist view saying that. So there's some hope for him, I think, if he's still alive. I'm not sure. But anyway, as I'd said earlier, I believe that probably everybody here kind of knows the Calvary Chapel viewpoint on this. Like that we believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are available to us today. I'd have to agree if somebody said, do you see all of them working and do you see those things manifesting themselves daily in the church like they did in these times? And are there people operating in those gifts as much as they were at that time in proper order following along with Scripture? Not as much as what I know that I've seen in the past. I do know that I know people that have some of these gifts. I know that I've seen them in operation and in order, because the God that we serve is a God of order. He doesn't do things out of order. So if you go through chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, Paul lays out instruction after instruction there and tells us what those gifts are and how they're to be used. And it's not an exhaustive list. Some of that list is picked up and furthered in Romans chapter 12, I believe, as well. So I know in my own life that there's been some times in one deal here recently that kind of grieves my heart that I didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. There was a gentleman where I work at. There was something I could tell that wasn't right about him, you know. And the Lord just kept telling me, go over and talk to him, go over and talk to him. Finally, when I did, I kind of put off what I was seeing and what the Spirit was trying to impress upon me, because I had an agenda, a little bit of what I was trying to get done through the day, you know, you understand? So I had a job to do, and what he was doing had to come to an end, and so I could start my part and get that done. And so we were kind of in one another's ways. So later come to find out that the man had been having some troubles at home and with his mind and stuff. And I believe that we know now that he's had a stroke. So I think that the sad part of believing that the gifts aren't for today, or that a lot of them have ceased, is we begin to operate in our own power, our own might. We begin to think that the wisdom of man or ourselves or our strength or our might or our power or what we may know supersedes what maybe God's trying to say to us. I believe we need to be really sensitive, especially in these days that we live in, to God's Holy Spirit. I believe that these gifts that he gave are still available today, and they're much needed in the church today, that Jesus Christ would be glorified, that people would be brought to salvation, that words of knowledge would be spoken to believers, that a word of wisdom would be spoken to someone. Paul said that we need to earnestly seek those gifts. Ask God, what gifts do you have for me? He wants us to ask. The Holy Spirit wants to distribute them as he wills to each believer, that Jesus Christ would be glorified in his church. It would be built up and edified and growing and nurturing. Now, we know the gift of tongues, for the most part, is for each person. A lot of people have that gift, will express it as they have a prayer life or a prayer language, and they'll speak that as they have their own time of devotion with God. And it edifies you. And if you have that gift, it's a most beautiful, wonderful gift, I'm sure. There's also a mention there by Paul that gift is also for unbelievers, that they would see something was different about you or whoever was speaking in tongues. The proper use of tongues and within the church is that there be an interpreter present. So, he said, everything in place, everything in order. God's a God of order. But I would really exhort each and every one of you, if you don't feel that you have any gifts or that you're not seeing any of those things in your life, I believe God has, the Holy Spirit has a gift for everyone, more than one for some. I don't believe it's really a lack of faith. I think it's a lack of asking. Now, we do need to believe that those gifts are available for today. But it's easy to say, I think I'd be pinned a little bit strange if I started asking for some of those gifts and I started telling people, you know what? The Lord just told me you shouldn't go to Chicago. Well, how'd you even know I was going to Chicago? I don't know. I'm just saying the Lord's telling me that. Well, you must have known something. I don't know. I'm just telling you. So I'm not saying that's a specific way. God, the Holy Spirit will work different and manifest himself different in people's lives. But those gifts are for us for today, I believe. And I exhort you to in prayer. Ask God, what gifts do you have for me today? What can I do to build up and to edify your body, to glorify your name? Is it teaching? Is it the gifts of tongues that I might be edified as I speak in prayer to God? Is it the gift of healing? I've seen people speak healing words over people and they've been healed, and not just to the point that it was like in a coincidence type of thing. Those people were healed completely. When they went back to the doctor, there was nothing wrong with them. I've seen some miraculous things in our children's life, Chris and I's, that just praying to God and using that gift of prayer to speak to God, and seen him do miraculous things in one of our sons, Caleb's life. I've seen God use those things to get his attention several times, and it's amazing. And he recognizes that at times, and like most of us, it fades away without use. So I guess what I'm saying is this: please seek those things. Ask God. Even if you're a skeptic and you say, well, you know what, I think I'm more on the cessationist side. I really don't believe those things are for me. Take the scriptures that we went over tonight. I kind of went fast over them. But if you got some of them down, study through those things. Really look at them. Ask God, what could be worse than to ask God? And he said, nothing happens. And I don't get any of those gifts. Okay. I doubt that's going to happen. If you're truly asking God by faith and believing that he wants to use those things in your life. Decently and in order. I know that God wants to move amongst his people. God wants to heal. God wants to give people a word. God wants to let you know that he's there, that he loves you. God wants you to know that there's always an open door with him to ask and to receive. Thank you guys for listening, and just pray all that the Holy Spirit has for each and every one of you. A touch and move in your lives that you'd be ready, willing, and let him be able to go forth in your lives and glorify Jesus in every way, okay? Thank you.
We hope the Lord has spoken to you through his word today. If you've got questions or comments about this message, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're in the Wichita area and don't have a church that you call home, I hope you'll drop by and check us out. You can always get current service times and directions at area code 316-263-3804 or online at www.ccwichita.org. Most importantly, though, please remember, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We've all sinned. We've all rebelled against God. And the penalty for that sin is eternal death. But God, in his mercy, sent Jesus to pay that price, to die that death for us. That's why Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago. He died so we wouldn't have to. And he rose again in glory, promising eternal life with him forever for those who put their trust in him. So if you haven't decided what to do with the cross, why not say yes to Christ's free gift of salvation right now? You can do it wherever you are simply by praying, "Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I confess I am a sinner, and I need your free gift of salvation. Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." The scripture tells us if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you are His. So pick up a Bible and start reading. Begin at the Gospel of John to understand and rejoice in everything it means to be a child of God. If you're in the Wichita area, I hope that you'll stop by. We'll make sure you have a Bible along with some materials to help you begin your walk with the Lord. If you're not close by, feel free to give us a call. We'll be glad to help you find a solid Bible teaching church in your area. Thanks again for listening. May the Lord richly bless you as you commit your ways to Him.